Welcome back to Ladies with Gumption, episode 192, Tipping the Scales. I am May, and I am here with
Tatiana
and Jessica.
You can always reach us over on Twitter at DCTVGumption. Email us all your lovely thoughts to ladieswithgumption@gmail.com. Send us some asks at ladieswithgumption.tumblr.com. All of our podcasts are available on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, and several others. So anywhere you listen to podcasts, whatever is your preference, we are available to entertain you. We do have a Patreon, so if you did not know, now you do. It's patreon.com/DCTVGumption. There we talk about everything kind of outside of the main Arrowverse stuff. So we do HBO Max Premium. We've done Titans in the past. We've kind of let go of Titans. Doom Patrol, Harley Quinn, which is also coming up on season 3. We've done Netflix series.
We just did The Boys.
Mm-hmm, part 1. We're going to do part 2. Upcoming is also Umbrella Academy, so stay tuned for that. Over in the news, Ezra Miller continues their terror across the world. I don't know what's happening here, but basically a new report with the fan they choked a couple of years ago, so like in the spring of 2020.
It was their villain origin story.
The person spoke out about their experience with Ezra and what happened and how it was just such a shocking thing. And then there was another incident of them harassing a woman in Germany. So all around the world they go.
Before that, because it's really funny, because right before I saw the article on this, there's someone saying on Twitter that they saw Ezra and Austin Butler getting into an argument in Japan, in like Tokyo or somewhere, and Austin Butler like wound up like punching Ezra in the face or something. I was like, man, is Ezra really the Flash? Because I don't understand how
they're there.
Assaulting people at the same time. Like, what is going on?
Yeah, so it's just like it's almost like every week now we've been reporting on Ezra Miller, it seems. Feels like it gets worse, and a lot of people are on Twitter are kind of catching up with everything that's happened. Someone was like, how are they not in jail and they're just roaming the streets?
I want to know how they let Ezra in Japan, because I think like right now you can't even get into Japan with like a tourist whatever. Right. Yeah, you have to have a visa for everything. So, with the record of assaults piling up, I don't know.
It's really interesting because it's like the constant travel almost makes it seem like they're on a press tour, but I know they're not promoting anything.
Exactly.
So,
and even if it was like a movie, no PR person in their right mind is sending Ezra out to do anything like right around now. So.
Yeah, so it's a bizarre situation, and it keeps getting stranger and more violent. Elsewhere, we have Harley Quinn season 3 trailer dropped with the announcement that it's going to come to HBO Max at the end of July.
Yes.
We'll cover that. So thoughts on the trailer? Did you see the trailer?
I had heard it was coming, and I was very excited, and then I have not had a chance to watch it, but I'm sure it is beautiful, and I'm very excited for it.
Yeah, I saw the trailer, and I think it looks really fun. I think Harley and Ivy said they're going on like an eat, bang, kill tour. That was like the theme of the trailer. There is a Bat-Cat scene in the trailer.
Oh.
Yes, I think it's okay. I think it's like a play on DC saying that. Oh, was that part of it? Like DC saying that. Batman wouldn't go down on Catwoman. You remember we were talking about that?
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
I think there's something that alludes to that in the trailer between, like, Batman and Catwoman. That was fun. That was funny.
I have to admit that I only saw, like, the Harley Ivy moments, and I feel like I was satisfied, so.
And there's a lot of that. I think we will be satisfied, so it looks like a fun season.
SDCC is happening, so San Diego Comic-Con is going to be in person this year. It's not the safest thing, because thousands of people will be there. I don't know what their mask situation is like, but it's happening.
Masks are required, and you have to get tested or show your vaccination proof before you get a little banned to come in.
So there's that. And it will be in person, but Sad
and we care because
yeah, DCWB shows are not going to attend. So nothing from the CW slate. Not that there's anything left.
Of Riverdale will be there at least.
Riverdale will be there because it's Riverdale's last season.
I actually have a reason to talk to the Riverdale cast. Well, I have a reason to talk to one person in the Riverdale cast. Because of that stupid K-pop movie that Charles Melton is in. Because guess who's in it?
Taonu.
Is in it. Oh my God. Why God? But I will have to ask Charles Melton about that. So I have a reason. All right. Anyway.
Well, that'll probably be the most interesting answer that you'll get. Well, that's exciting. But yeah, so like it's going to be so dry this year. And, you know, SCCC was like prime for cast interactions and interviews and all this great stuff. And we are being robbed of it, probably because DC is holding off on all their shows for DC fandom. And CW is being sold to Nexstar, which is actually being finalized, although sources do say that it could not go through, but it probably will.
And isn't Nexstar like conservative? Is that why we're losing all our shows?
There's a line in there that says something wholesome, but also something for mature audiences, so it's very confusing. So I was like, oh, because I saw the first of the mature thing, I was like, oh my God, are we actually going to get like West Island second out here? But I don't know if the wholesome thing was going to be a thing in general. Yeah,
like,
so I don't know.
I would be curious, as, like, what do they mean wholesome? They mean wholesome, like no vampires or?
You know they mean.
Gay people.
Or, exactly. Like, I was
going to
say.
Like, just like 5 minutes or five
episodes. I mean, when I hear that, I think like family, you know, quote unquote family content. And it's like, it's all right for the kids to watch, which is like nothing on the CW, apparently, you know? And that would really suck because CW
is like a place where they had a lot of that stuff. What they have in their mind when they say wholesome and mature.
Right? Yes. That is exactly the show that they've used in the article. As an example. And probably less like teen stuff, I would assume, as well. So we'll see how that shakes out. And nothing that was renewed this year is affected. So everything that will, like by 2023, we'll find out what's going to happen to the shows that are coming back. And then finally, Candace Patton has spoken out of her four episode absence in season 8, because Eric Wallace, the showrunner, has been giving interviews about, you know, they couldn't do storylines for Iris because Candace was not available to them. But it turns out that she could have been available to them because she had a clause in her contract stating that only if things got bad and borders would potentially close would she have an out to come back to the U.S. And they knew that in advance. But then, you know, if everything was fine and borders did not close, which they did not, COVID has kind of been, everyone's coming and going again. They could use her for all the episodes, but they did not use that. And that is not a Candace problem. I don't think it's a CW problem because Candace's name still shows up after Grants in the episodes that she's not in. So clearly the writer's room is like, we don't want to write for her. And I feel like that's what happened.
I did ask my friend, and my friend is someone y'all know, who was an entertainment lawyer and is currently a different kind of lawyer, but she said it is the network that does the contracts. So if you would like, on this podcast, I can read exactly what she said. And when I asked her about it and I sent her the interview, she said, Eric is a trash showrunner, but networks negotiate stars' contracts, not showrunners. So it is ignorant to think that he's at fault for her contract problems. Mm-hmm. So there you go. I do think they were both.
So would they, like, when you say that the network is responsible for the contracts, are you saying that?
Like, when she negotiated
with the network.
With like the network and the like network's lawyers, right? They are the network's lawyers. Right. You know, whoever, the network and their lawyer is their team. They're the ones who then were like, we will choose to not exercise this clause or whatever, right? So they're the ones who say, we're not going to do that for whatever reason, whether it's monetary or hateration in their nation. I don't know. So that is what I would think that is why both Candace and Eric are saying, like, it's above me now. Mm-hmm. I know it feels like, because I also thought, like, why would Eric say that when Candace is saying the opposite, right? Like, he's making it because we all thought that he was saying she went on vacation, basically.
And it didn't make any sense when we were watching, like, because it's not like she had a project. It's not like she was doing anything. So it didn't make sense for her to be not working for 4 episodes. And I don't know if you also asked your entertainment friend how the payment thing works, because I think a lot of people think that people get paid per episode. And I don't know if it's, if that's it, or if, like, if you're a regular, that means that you're contractually obligated to however much of a percentage of the season, whether the writers write you into it or not. It makes more sense for them to write you into your minimum contracted percentage, because then that's how they get the most bang for their buck. But anything above that is, the writers don't have to write you in or write you out. It's kind of my understanding. Like, if I'm a regular, say, like 80%, I have to commit to be available, versus if I was recurring, then I only have 40% commitment or whatever.
Right. Well, I just asked, so I'm sure at some point during this podcast, we'll find out the answer. Podcast.
Breaking news.
Yes, breaking news. You'll find out if Candace got paid for not being there or not. However, okay. I do think, like for like, what I would say is, on the one hand, I would be like, oh, okay, well, maybe Eric had already planned out the storyline to not include her, and that's why he was like, you know what, better not. But he obviously didn't, because just like there was like one scene of Caitlin on the phone with Barry in episode, there could have been a scene of Iris.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's my thing too. Okay, so it's not Eric. It's the writing part. It's that like, you, if you knew in advance she wasn't going to be for those 4 episodes, or even like whether it was specifically 4 episodes that she had to be absent in a row, because I don't know how that works.
Right, right.
But I mean, yeah, as a writer, you can write that better. Like, if you had her for 16 out of the 20 episodes, you could still write her storyline.
Right. Like, and that's, episodes. Yeah, that's the problem, whether, like, whoever was responsible for, like, why she's not in those episodes, whether it was a network decision or his and the writer's team decision, it doesn't matter that, or, like, it doesn't make it any better how she was written for the whole season. Because the whole season, it was like, yes, we knew that this was coming, but they didn't do any build-up for it to be a storyline that had impact. And then,
or, like, during her absence, there was nothing that was connecting it. Like, him saying, like, I didn't have Candace, is exacerbated in the fact that her absence is obvious, because you're not really ready to it. So if you had, like, if they had been, like, crazy about, if they had included Iris in the episodes, things about Iris in the episodes that she was not physically there, it would feel less obvious that we don't have Candace right now.
Right. Right. Like, if they had, if there was a plot that was happening on the show that required us to not know what Iris was doing, you know, then it would, I guess I could see it. But there's no situation where, like, because the dramatic irony would just be increased if you see Barry and the team looking in one place and then you see physically where Iris is elsewhere. Kind of like, again, like the mirror storyline. We see them freaking out and then we see Iris. Or like the final season of Supergirl, where we see them trying to get to Kara and then we see Kara. Like, that only increases the dramatic irony. So whatever. I don't know. I just think it's stupid. I was obviously stupid, but
yeah, it sucks in general. So hopefully, you know, whatever contract she negotiated this year for season 9 will not have that.
Oh, and she said it is per episode. She said even if they're series director, those, it's the episodes that they're in. So there you go.
Okay, so they wanted to save some money, basically, and I was like, we're going to exercise this anyway, even though we know that you're available, we don't want to pay you.
They were like, we are bleeding billions.
Tragic.
That's probably true.
That's the thing, right? Like, I get that financially, but with such a bloated cast, you could easily, you know, get rid of Allegra or Chester or Cecile for an episode or two. And no one would notice. You know what I mean?
Oh, like, yeah. Well, yeah.
I feel like that's, I'm sure.
I mean, I think you will notice more than a them sigh of them, relief. But yeah.
So I'm sure, like, Candace gets paid more than them. But still, if you removed all 3, that's probably her salary. I don't know.
right. That's actually hilarious. Okay.
Moving on. Into the episode. We're going to discuss our joy, no joy, and feedback with gumption from you all. And to take us away is Jessica.
Some of you may be still boycotting The Flash. I'm going to do like a recap. With The Flash still reeling from the apparent death of his wife and Mina traumatized by Eobard's face getting ripped apart and revealing an even uglier thing underneath, Magnifon gloats that at least Barry's mom and Iris were good for something, aka the rise of The Flash and the rebirth of negative reverse Flash. So Barry's upset, obviously, tries to kill him, but is interrupted by Bart and Nora, who tried to get their dad to chill because they still exist, which must mean that Iris is still alive. And she is indeed. As we see, she reappears inside the Time Stone, Damian Dark, who explains to her that she is not dead because she's a survivor.
Yes.
Yes. She's not going to give up. Yeah, all that. And she's not stuck there for eternity, but it's up to her to figure out how to get out. Back at Team Flash, Cecile narrates the obvious that Barry and Mina want revenge. And although hesitant, the rest of the team rallies to support Barry's plan to break into the Negative Speed Force to go after Thawne. Meanwhile, in the Negative Speed Force, Thawne was like, thanks for the body, but I gotta go. And the Negative Forces tell him, like, your rebirth is not for free. We're going to forcibly upgrade you to become the Negative Reverse Flash. With Mina's help, Barry makes it into the Negative Speed Force, where he learns the depth of the Negative Force's plan to disrupt the balance of the universes, because he was the one that initiated the chaos when he just, like, killed Negative Speed Force and severed it from the Avatar. And so they're like, you know what? We didn't know that we could do that. We didn't know this is the game we're playing. But now that we know, we are going to take over all of your stuff, Barry. Thank you so much for enlightening us. And then they kick him out. So, supercharged and drunk on power, Thawne is let loose on the city. He's going bananas. Back at the West House, Joe is distraught over losing the daughter he spent zero time looking for, killed by a man he spent a whole lot of time advocating to save from the death penalty. Sad. Jay and Joan show up because they tracked Iris' essence to his house. And Joe is
looking for her. It was so sad.
Huh?
I'm sorry. They're the only ones looking for her. It was so sad.
They are. Like, they are on the ball. And Joe introduces them. They, like, you know, we trace Iris back to your house, and it's coming from inside that cabinet. He's like, oh my God, that's where I store my magic rock. Let me show you. So they go and see the rock. The rock is now glowing, so they know Iris is there. Iris realizes, through talking to Damian, that all these times where she was supposed to die and she hadn't died, she hadn't reached her limit. And I say, it's because a limit does not exist. And she channels her powers of love to reignite the spark between her and Barry. Freeing herself from the rock, she asks she had to take her to Barry, who's fighting Thawne, as Barry still believes that Iris is dead because he couldn't feel the connection of the Speed Force to her, and they are both, like, destroying the city. After a brief reunion where Barry's like, oh my God, Iris is alive, Iris tells Barry, look, you have to chill, this is not the way, before leaving with Jay to get to safety. Cecile has a storyline in which we learn that Bashir, one of the forces, chose her as his avatar and has supercharged her up with Rosa and Royal Flesh Lady's powers so that she could then use his psycho mask to free all the positive forces. So that's what she does. Free the positive forces, they go and they find Barry, and it's like, it's morphin' time! And they go together and supercharge Barry. So now we have a supercharged Flash and a supercharged Negative Reverse Flash. Thawne is hell-bent on obtaining more power from the Negative Forces in order to defeat Barry, but Barry remembers the series finale of Avatar The Last Airbender and realizes that the way to win is to do nothing at all. Thawne throws a tantrum about this and literally implodes. Finally, the world is safe. Iris reunites that ungrateful have a Tinia with her mom. Happy Flash family reunion. Mina has her Eobard tie to remember him by. Even get a very happy, intimate Wes Allen scene where they kind of reflect on their bond to each other, what they mean to each other, and share a nice little kiss. We have a random scene of Mark being confused by the monster formerly known as Caitlin that he created because he does not recognize who is in the machine. And then we see, finally, there's a lab in 2049. There's a blue glowing crystal signaling Eddie will return. He will undie in season 9 and finally bring us the Cobalt Blue storyline that we've been begging since season 1. Marcus Stokes directed the episode, written by Eric Wallace. So that was a straight for the theory. That is what has happened in the end of season 8. So, what about this was joyful to you? What sparked joy?
I'm glad that Iris is back. That's what's most exciting for me. I did enjoy seeing, for some reason, I'm going to call him Benedict Cumberbatch. I don't know how that came up. But Damien Dark, my greatest frenemy. I don't, there's no explanation for why. but yeah, so he's always fun, and he was especially fun here telling Iris like how important she is and singing Destiny's Child lyrics at her, as Jessica previously mentioned. I'm trying to think. I'm like, I feel like that all their conversations and scenes were enjoyable, and I appreciate the fact that Iris can appear and, like, just stop the fight. She still has the power of the pep talk in her. And I suppose, hopefully, that will be something that she gets to explore in in more interesting ways next season. I loved the scene on the couch with West Allen at the end. And all just in general, like, that they got to be, like, touchy-feely again. That it seemed like they were genuinely excited to see each other and talk about their future. Loved that Joe remembered that he had a daughter once he saw her. I mean, he did do a little praying beforehand, like, come on, baby girl, get back to me. But I guess I also like, this is like a backhanded joy, but I would have been so annoyed if they all thought that Iris was dead and then were just, like, grieving after not having tried to help her at all for, like, 2 months. So, like, I'm okay with them all being like, okay, we know she's alive, somehow, for reasons, because Eric has told us off-screen that she has to be alive, so we are going to get her back. Don't worry about it. And it was only Barry who was being a drama queen. Like, no, she is definitely dead. I can't kill her.
She's gone.
Yeah. And they're like, well, we don't believe in whatever random love connection pointing the way to her life, so we're just going to go up based on the fact of whatever. I don't even know what they're going off of, but I guess it's about as real.
Her kids are still alive.
Right, the fact that the kids are still alive. Yeah, that's it. There you go. We're going to go on time travel science logic. Speaking of which, always still love to see the Not Twins. And it was nice to have like a whole, like a large chunk of Flash family there with still getting some of the Garricks. So that was nice. But I did enjoy, I thought it looked cool, even though it was very Powerpuff, Power Rangers, Teletubbies, The friendship is magic force fight against Eobard looked cool and rainbowy, you know, for the last week
last
of Pride.
Day of the Pride, yeah. Just in time.
I'm trying to think, what else is there? Well, okay, there was a brief period of time where I thought Cecile was losing her powers for good. And oh my God. It was an exciting time. I felt so much schadenfreude, if you will. It was beyond joy. Schadenfreude. But, you know, then I got my karma for being a hater. So, whatever. I guess I'm joyful that many characters that I'm not that interested in watching did not take up much time in the finale. Tellegra, bless their hearts, didn't really have all that much to do. They were just in the team. And I, once again, did not notice Caitlin's absence until the random refrigerator scene pointed it out to me. So, you know, I was having a good old time there. I think it does, again, it brings me a perverse joy that only one daughter can be thought of at a time. So Jenna has only been mentioned while Iris is in the negative still force. And now that Iris is back, who is Jenna? I don't know. Does Jenna need a reunion with her sister? She probably doesn't even know she has a sister. So whatever. Two sisters, and doesn't know either of them. So there you go. That's also joyful.
Joni was a race in crisis.
Old enough to have like a little, you know, a small actor look sad at a picture for, you know, for seconds. I know someone on that team had like a kid, right? That's just Jenna's age. Like, come on.
Right, exactly. She can go to preschool or whatever it is. I think she can look at a picture of her sister. But oh well. It is what it is.
It's so random, though.
Yeah, we wouldn't even know who that was. I feel like we're the stranger in Joe's house.
Look, is this young Nora? I don't know.
Oh, you know, people would be like, oh my God, is this young Nora? Like, how, genetics, guys. Like, how do you. Okay.
Ooh, okay. So, anyway.
All your joys, my dear.
Yeah, I mean, I really got nothing else. I'm really. This is the bottom of the barrel. But I mean, I wasn't mad, honestly. Like, I was like, you know what? This is an acceptable wrap up to a lot of this. Like, some of the storylines have been lackluster, and we got, you know, a somewhat less lackluster wrap up to what was a slog of a storyline. And, you know, everything else is just, I mean, okay, I forgot. Joy. I'm excited that the possibility of Cobalt Blue, I think it's Cobalt Blue, so I'm excited about that. But either way, like, it's cool to tease a new villain, even if I was not cool enough to get the reference.
I didn't even know that the lab was in 2049. Like, I missed that part. Of
yeah.
The,
I didn't get that.
You're so happy West Salem reunited. You're like, oh, it doesn't matter what happened. Yeah.
There you go. There you go.
So I've been looking at a rock. Like, come on.
All right. So.
All right. Yeah, I mean, I pretty much enjoyed the same things. I like that, I guess, after all this time and all the art annoyances about Cecile's random powers, they explained why she was, you know, leveling up or whatever, and I'm like, okay, so that makes some sense, I guess. Although I don't, never mind, I'm not going to get into the logics of this illogic. So that was nice, you know, Joe remembering that Iris existed and that she was gone, and not just gone, you know, hanging out in the Silver Fort, but actually, like, dead, you know, that he thought, at least, was nice, because we did get an emotional moment, and, you know, Jesse L. Martin always delivers on that front, even though there could have been more done, but I will take it. And even, like, knowing that he's not going to be a series regular next season, and his last scene was with Iris, like, hugging Iris and, you know, making sure she was all right. It was a good way to go out, you know? Jane Joan doing the work, traveling from, you know, the future to now to pinpoint where Iris is.
And they must have more sense in the future.
And it's so funny to me because, like, last episode, it was that Jay is off-world with Barry, but Barry doesn't care. His wife and the president is not around. So, you know, Jay's popping in to help out. And that was really nice because it felt like, you know, these are two people who, even though they don't really share as many scenes, they're not around every episode. You still feel like the Garricks really care about the West Allen family. And I love that. So it was really nice to see those moments. I think the fight at the end was really cool. Like the Flash and reverse Flash going around the city. And I liked that at least tried to connect back to Armageddon, and that, like, if they had kept fighting, Armageddon would have been caused. So that was, like, a nice callback. The scenes with Damien and Iris, like, Damien is, as Taki described, a frenemy. So whenever he pops up, you know, he's very snarky, he's very fun. And I like the fact that he sort of, I guess for lack of a better description, treated her, Iris, like a daughter. It's like, yes, you can do it. You know, I believe in you. You're here for a reason and all this stuff. He's like, I'm just stuck in a stone, so I'm just going to kind of see you out. Do you really want to be stuck here with me forever? I love that line. He's like, I don't want to. So I'm going to leave now. And it was great to that she, you know, got to reignite the spark as well, because I guess it was like a nice way of saving herself, instead of having to it be this, like, really big dramatic moment. It's just like, I'm going to think on this and re-spark the spark, and then Barry's going to be like, I'm going to think on this and defeat Reverse Flash. So that stuff was good. What else? Obviously the West Sound reunion, but specifically the last scene with them being all cuddled up on the couch was really nice. It really felt like the before times, which shows you how long we've been deprived of these very scenes. But it was really just really nice. It felt very natural. It was almost like I could forget what happened before the last 4, 6, 7 episodes. And it was just like, even like their kiss and Iris being like, seriously, I know I've been gone for a while. I had to rewatch that twice and she was teasing him. Can you say thank you after she kissed him? I thought that was so funny. But yeah, in general, just kind of like talking through things and being together in that moment without actually being interrupted was very nice. And I feel like the show needs more moments like that just to make it feel a little bit more natural with regards to like everything that's happening. God, what else? I like that Mina was just kind of included in the Speedster family, like at the end when they were having their little conversation about everything being back to normal. You know, she is, I think she's a great character. The actress really made an impression the last few episodes that she's been in. And I feel like I was really sad for her that she lost her speed, even though she, you know, it's not that something she wanted per se. But I feel like she could be a great friend actually for next season. That would be really great to have her around. I feel like more so than even like the series regulars. No offense.
Maybe she can like take over one of those positions and we can like, Kaylin's practically out, mm-hmm. but also like Lugger can go and work at her main job and stay there. That'd be great.
Yeah, it really would be. God, what else? I'll leave it at that, and if I think of something else, I'll come back.
You know, this finale, what I think what sparked joy is that I was pleasantly surprised. The bar was low, so I think I was okay. I thought it was a decent finale. It really sparked joy that there was a lot more Iris in the episode than I was expecting, because just the way that it ended the previous episode, the most frustrating and dramatic thing to do would be to not have everybody, including the audience, think that she's dead and that she's not coming back. But I'm glad that that was not the case and that we did get to see her in the time stone. I like the scenes that she had with Damien Darhk. I agree with you that it's kind of like he's like talking to his daughter almost. It's like, you know, you got beat down, but you're not out. And so it's kind of like firm, but also very loving in the sense of like, you can figure this out. You're a smart girl. You survived through things that the normal person would not have survived just because you're strong. And I know you can do this, that kind of thing. So, I thought those scenes were nice. I also felt that Barry finally felt very appropriately emotional about the fact that something was happening with Iris. It's just kind of, you know, it came when you thought she was dead, but it was there.
Like, that's true. Your aunt did step it up for this episode.
He did. He leveled up. Various reactions for the finale. So that was really good. Especially kind of, it gave like a interesting kind of push and pull between the team, because he and Mina are in a parallel. Like both of the loves of their lives have been horrifically killed in front of them, and they've been like traumatized. And so it was nice, interesting to see them on one side versus the other team Flash members kind of stunned but not really sure what to do. It's like, da, 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 da. And then you had like Barton and Nora trying to mediate the situation. So I feel like there's a lot of interesting tension there. I also thought it was really interesting with the negative forces. That they didn't bring back Eobard to just bring back Eobard. It's like, you are here to work, sir. Which I thought was an interesting dynamic between the two of them, because you kind of see how different the dynamics are between Barry and his forces versus Eobard finally meeting his. And it's not the same kind of symbiotic relationship. He wants to use them and they turn around. It's like, no, we're using you actually. So there, that kind of thing. So it was interesting to see the differences between the two. What else did I like? I agree with you that I liked that we get an explanation for Cecile's powered up. It almost made up for the annoyance of her going through it to know that, oh, it is because it was leading to this specific thing. And then when we thought that, you know, now that this specific thing is over, you can go back, which really sparked joy. But then other things happened, and now she's got telekinesis, so whatever. But I will, I guess it'll spark joy since she has telekinesis now. It is a better way of displaying her powers than the weird, I'm listening to your mind music and shit that goes on, and her having to, like, narrate stuff that we can clearly see. If she's going to have powers, they might as well be practical. So I feel like that's a more practical use for them. So that's fine, I guess. If she's going to have them, she's going to be here. Might as well be useful, girl. I do like the idea that, you know, Iris reignites her spark with Barry. And then when they're on the couch talking about it, she was saying that he was her lightning rod too. So they kind of hold each other down, which I think is good, because for a long time, I think, you know, usually when they're talking about the lightning rod concept, it's because Iris is holding Barry down all the time. And so, you know, it's one-sided. Now it's become like dual-sided, I guess. And I'm not sure Barry did to deserve being her lightning rod. But the concept is there, that they both bring each other back. So, and their scene at the end, I thought was really sweet with them. It felt like season three, you know, even season four on the couch with them, you know, it took you back there. I did like that it felt, the chemistry was still there. The kiss was really nice. I liked that, you know, they were kind of like teasing each other. All of that was really, really good. And I also liked that, even though I don't like Tenya, I did like that it was a Flash Iris scene, which made me, also, it also sparked joy remembering that Barry never told Tenya that he was a Flash. So kept his secret safe for one day. But the Flash coming and bringing her mom back, and Iris and the Flash kind of like working together in TC Media. I thought that was really cute, the little like fist bump thing. And I'm hoping that, if I am to believe, I'm to believe a lie, I want it to be true, that if Barry and Iris are supposed to be spending more time together in season 9, this is one of the facets of what he meant by that, seeing more of the Flash and Iris, owner of CCC Media, collaborating on stuff.
Yes.
I would love that.
I mean, I don't know if you guys watched Andy's interview with Eric, but he did talk about getting Barry and Iris together in more aspects, including also like breaking down how Iris feels in the wake of this having happened to her, that'll be something that Barry and Iris work through together. So I hope that that is accurate, that we are going to get to see them in a lot of different forms, like you're saying. Like, hopefully we'll have, yeah. So.
That's what we wanted for so long.
Yeah, why was he playing with us? Like, why do you need 3 books of nothing in order to have this make sense? Like, you could have been
doing like, their love had to be tested before we, I don't know, were with it, but whatever, that'll be...
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I guess it's true. He also, like, he did mention something, like, you know, that there has been a lot of Barry and Iris in pain because they're apart. So now, yes, like, it'll still be a little rocky road, but together, right? So, whatever. I don't know if they were like, was someone contagious? I don't know. Maybe that was because the pandemic only seemed to affect them and not anyone else.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, like, it's been 2 years. It's not an excuse anymore, guys.
Yeah. But anyway, whatever. Hopefully that is correct about season 9 and that we can look forward to some whatever. That thing.
Iris and Flash.
Yes, or Iris and Flash. And just more Iris. More Iris. More West Allen. Iris and Flash. Iris and CCP.
You know what? my other, I guess my last big like was the fact that there was so much Flash family and like real Flash family. The only person I was missing was Wally, which, I mean, what can we do? But I love the fact that we had so much Bart and Nora, and then also Jay and Joan, mm-hmm, coming to specifically for Iris to help her and to bring her back. Sparks a lot of joy, and it also sparks a lot of joy at the end. It was just them plus Mina and no other interlopers. I thought that was really kind of a nice way. I wish we could see more of that too in season 9. If we do get more of Bart and Nora every now and then, or that they come with Jay and Joan, would be really nice to see a lot more of that instead of giving Cecile telekinesis. But anywho, what did not spark joy?
Well, now that you mention it, giving Cecile telekinesis was not a preferred choice. And in that same interview that I am referring to, I think that he mentioned that, oh no, it was different, whatever, doesn't matter. I think that he said it was like,
he said it was a reward. Yeah, it was a reward for that. Because she had worked hard to level up. And,
which is very, we don't need a reward, Cecile. First of all, she was accidentally stealing people's powers, so her reward should be to return to not having powers. And second off, since when do humans need, like normal humans, who are supposed to be, like, the heart of whatever, then need powers? Like, why is that necessary? It seems so strange and random. It's not like, you know, no one's rewarding Iris for everything that she's gone through with powers, unless the power is reigniting the spark with her love. Or
what? Yeah, he called that her leveling up in other interviews. I'm like, Iris leveling up? Like, how? What?
Yeah. That actually reminds me, I did laugh because I told y'all that I was going to give Andy some questions. And so one of them, the question was, is Iris,
he did ask my questions.
Yes. Thank you, Andy. But one of them was just like, is her reigniting the spark indicative of a future storyline, or is it just a testament to their love? And I put that in like sarcastically, because of course, the testament to their love means BS plot that's going nowhere. And his response was, it is a testament to their love. So thank you. But
we're really gonna reward her. I think we should keep up with that whole sharing speed.
Right. Exactly. Let's bring out her outfit again. And like, wasn't that like Eric's first episode? Or not first episode, but it was definitely his first season. I remember.
It was his first season, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, call back to your own episode, sir. Let's give Iris some speed. But yeah.
That was your only dislike?
No. Oh, I forgot that I was still talking about that. I was like,
that was very fast.
Yeah, no. Dislikes. Well, okay, right. I already said Cecile. So, next up, I mean, once again, Iris had to save herself, although she did have Damien, so thank you. But, like, that's, again, we are scraping the bottom of the barrel when Damien Dark is the person in your corner and no one else is actually helping you. I guess there's, you know, like, whatever, they were rooting for her from afar, but I just still feel like the stakes were super, super low throughout the whole season, given how high my blood pressure was over the thought that they were treating Candace so poorly and that she might just up and quit and leave us with the haters for next season of The Flash. I thought that the haters would win, and now I have won. But at what cost? So I really wish that the finale had been a little bit more, you know, triumph in it in terms of Iris' return. But since we did get cute with Salon Woman and Kiss, I'm not that mad about it. It was about as much as you can salvage from this storyline, I guess. So other dislikes. I feel like we're doing deep cuts. I don't like these deep cuts. I feel like even if it turns out, like, who is the friend that Caitlin actually has become? First off, again, what a low stakes, like, unhyped, not interesting way to introduce whatever storyline this is for the last, like, 4 episodes. However, ever since she did her own disappearing, but getting her paycheck, she, like, the storyline's not going anywhere. I don't feel any enthusiasm or interest, and I feel like you literally do forget that she's there.
I feel that's the conversation, too, because when Danielle was pregnant the first time before COVID, and then they had already planned to not pay her because she's not going to be there because she's pregnant. Yep. And then COVID happened. And then when they got filming, it's like, okay, we are going to rewrite you back into the story.
Right.
For this. And, you know, not exercise the option to keep you on maternity leave.
Right.
Here, she's like, I don't know if they get paid per minute. I guess at least per episode. You still get your full check.
Yeah, you get your full check for your 10 seconds. Scene. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. If, maybe audio does not count. I guess that's possible.
I would assume that audio wouldn't count in this episode, but like the phone calls and the FaceTiming and all that kind of stuff. If y'all are really trying to save money on the network, y'all could have cut those out.
Yep, because it didn't feel like it added very much to the story. But yeah, point is that like that was not a very like I'm a friend. I think does not give you a good hint. I don't know who this person is. I literally forgot Louise Lincoln's already in the show, so I was like, oh, is it another personality of Frost? Is it Louise Lincoln? And Andy told me Louise Lincoln's already been on the show, so I was like, well, I'm out of ideas. Is it Crystal? Like, I don't know. But technically,
no, maybe, yeah.
Technically, Frost was Crystal because Crystal Frost is her name, but they never used it, so maybe she'll be Crystal. I don't know. Anyway, point is that was kind of like a bummer in terms of like not getting. It doesn't get me hype because I have no idea who this person is. And then the blue light thing. I'm like, I guess I've got Blue Lantern and Cobalt Blue, but there's nothing really specific to Cobalt Blue about it. Like Cobalt Blue has a what do you call it? An amulet. He has an amulet. He has a blue crystal amulet. So I was like, is this an amulet? I don't think it's an amulet, but it is blue.
It looks like it's manufactured in a lab. Like yeah. It's not like someone's trying to like.
So yeah. So like maybe that would be the one. I just feel like they could have done more to hype. Like if you're gonna give us nothing, then at least give us something.
Go girl.
Go girl. Give us nothing. So yeah. So I just feel like you know it's not really getting me pumped. It's not really getting me pumped. So I didn't like that. Anything else? I mean, like honestly, good for Barry using his speed bending abilities to destroy Eobard or let Eobard destroy himself. But like, I really feel like everyone was going overboard with the "you can't kill him because then you'll be as bad as him." Like everything bad that happens is because y'all aren't killing Eobard. Where is the reward for not killing Eobard?
Said that he's like, yeah. If you just killed me, you wouldn't be having this
discussion. Exactly. So like, what is this issue? So that just really annoys me. I'm just like, all right, guys, show me the empirical evidence that it is bad to kill Eobard because I'm not seeing it.
Why don't we just test it out? Why don't we test the theory? We don't know unless we try.
Yeah, exactly. We'll just go back in time and fix it if it's bad. But anyway, so there you go. So overall, I just thought it was like a bit silly. Like I was like, but since my expectations were so low that the finale certainly passed my expectations, so I can't complain too much. But it's still just not at the heights that the show once was. So there you go.
I will complain. But I mean, I agree that the bar was obviously low. Like, it did what it had to do to wrap up whatever storylines. The problem is the whole show just kind of been driving on autopilot, and it's not going anywhere. But I will start with Tinia not apologizing to Iris for mistreating her. Yelling at her and being just really
bitchy. I'm grateful, Heffa.
Yes. And so, like, I brought your mom back. I know she said thank you, but, like,
she could have,
yeah, toned it down a notch. So I wanted an apology, but we did not get that. Westown's reunion during the fight could have been more emotional because it's like, oh, I thought you were dead, and I'm back.
Goodbye.
It was just like, it was just like, oh, I'm here, and then, okay, goodbye. Whatever. I love Bart and Nora. I always love when they show up, but I feel like in the story itself, they didn't actually do much, and if they weren't there, no one would have noticed, probably. I feel like last season, when they first introduced Bart into the story, it was a lot better just because he had to do with the story personally. And here, yes, you know, it's all about save mom and make sure dad doesn't go berserk. But they didn't get much. They didn't even get
like. It's just like their proof of life, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Tell us you convinced
Barry. Here you go, she's alive, they're still here. Yeah. The negative Speed Force storyline, like, was really interesting, but I feel like it could have benefited from a lot more time because. Mm-hmm. You know, we've complained in the past seasons where it was, the build-up was so great that the ending was like, meh. And here it's like, the build-up's not great, and the ending was okay, but you could have actually done, you know, I don't know, 5 more episodes kind of like building up what was happening. And I feel like, again, I'm repeating the same thing I've repeated for the last few weeks, but there's just no tension. There's no, like, intrigue in the story. It's like, it's going somewhere, but I don't care where it's going. It's just, things are just happening. And they never feel like there is shock or surprise or feeling behind it, really. You know, just things that happen all the time. Tom's new reverse flash suit. I did laugh at Bart's joke about Satan, but I don't know what the hell that was. It was so ugly. The chin strap does no one any favors. It was an eyesore. So bad. And Cecile obviously continuing to be obvious, like, oh, they're in so much pain. Thank you. We it's know like, that.
No shit.
I can read people.
And this is why she had to switch her powers. At least telekinesis is more useful.
and for having the audacity to tell Barry to figure out his anger when he just lost Iris and she was flipping out during Armageddon and yelling at people after Joe was dead for months. So I did not like that. I think she's just, I feel like she's become the type of person who always tells people how to feel. It's like, let them feel. He's going to be pissed and mourning and angry. Like, that's fine. He has every right to feel that way after what happened. So that was just really annoying. So I guess I am happy that she has telekinetic powers, because at least she doesn't have to, you know, constantly tell us how people are feeling as if we're not all adults. And I feel like there's no accountability in general. Like, Joe for saying not to kill Eobard during Armageddon, Barry for not figuring out what's happening with the negative tachyons and Iris sooner, or even, like, for, you know, shooting lightning at Iris, for that matter. So I feel like all of this stuff has happened, but we don't really get a scene of, this is why, maybe an apology here or there, or, like, just coming to terms with their own actions throughout the season. Because I feel like Joe did a big thing by telling Barry not to kill Vaughn, and then Joe's pretty much non-existent in this episode except for to be there when Iris shows up. So I feel like they could have done a lot more with that, especially since this is, you know, Jesse's last season. It's like wasting his talents.
Yeah, forgot to say, no work was done to mm-hmm. show that.
It's just so painful.
He'll be back a couple of episodes. Like, he's not a regular, but he'll be recurring, right?
Yeah, he's recurring. So whenever he's, like, available, they can write him into an episode.
Yeah. I mean, maybe they're planning to have him there for, like, the first episode to, like, send him off, like, Wally. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. And I complain about this often, but I still hate the flashback in the middle of the episodes of things that happened last episode. And I feel like they could be easily solved by a previously on the Flash at the start of each episode with doesn't exist anymore but should come back, because I'm tired of having to be reminded while people are talking in the middle of the episode. It just takes me out. Like, just previously tell me what happened in a minute and then we'll all remember and we'll be on the same page. Caitlin's story, I don't know what was happening there. I completely forgot that she had a story, because I feel like, you know, while Iris wasn't in four episodes, Caitlin was in these four episodes, but nothing happened. So it's like she wasn't in these four episodes, because that's how much development her story got. Nothing. And by the end of all of this, I don't feel interested, excited. I don't care what's going to happen, because it's just there. And even, like, after Barry destroyed her lab, there was no, again, there's no tension, there's no build-up, there's nothing. Whatever. And then, for an episode that was supposedly written as a series finale, because at the time they did not know that they were going to be renewed, it did not feel like an episode that I would want to have wrap up the entire show. Mm. I feel like it could have done a lot more in terms of, like, character interactions and just relationships in general. But again, that goes back to just having an overall weak season where the finale doesn't really do any, you know, wrap up anything, because it was just written so poorly in general that to have had this, if this was potentially a season series finale, I would have been very upset.
That's scary, because of the way that it led up as not getting any kind of story or build up leading up to the finale for that. And I know, like, you know, when they figured out they're going to get a new season, they did some tweaks or whatever, but they were tweaking in that episode. So that doesn't affect the previous episode where you did nothing.
It's just mind-boggling, I guess. Like, you should write every season like it's going to be your last, because you're an old show at this point.
And yeah, and
you should just bring out everything.
There would have been no room for any kind of, like, series ending revolution, character dynamics, what we're going to do next, off-screen kind of deal. There'd been none of that. And if that's the way that he's thinking about things, like, what happens if he's in the middle of season 9 and that is then, like, what is he going to write when it's actually the end of the series?
You know, I'm too scared to find out.
Yeah. I do think there's in one of the interviews that he did that he said that if this had been the end of the season, like the end of the series, then they would have changed the final West Allen scene to be a little bit sexier and kind of like, I guess,
implied they're making babies.
Imply that Bart and Nora were conceived on this night.
It was so powerful that it made them be born on the same day again. Yay!
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of funny.
Were those all your likes or dislikes, May?
Yes.
I think that this finale as itself was okay, but when you look at it from the season as a whole, it's really underwhelming as a whole entire season, what we had to go through to finally get to this. I do think we get like a lot of answers and things, in the finale, and it's definitely, moving in terms of like stakes, the whole city is in trouble, all that kind of stuff. But just the way that it was set up, I agree with you, May, that I feel like the Negative Forces storyline was super interesting, but not really well developed, and that they could have been building that up a few episodes in. I've also said that Mina and Eobar should have been introduced to the audience, if not the characters, much sooner to kind of help ratchet up the tension consistently. So I feel like that's an issue. I also thought it was an issue that, for us, it's an issue as Iris fans that she always has to save herself.
Right.
But I also think that it's annoying when you get articles that claim that
she doesn't.
That she doesn't. She's still a damsel.
Yeah.
So if you're trying to write an article to cater to Iris, or to appeal to Iris fans about how this is how the show has failed Iris West, but then your conclusion is that she's a damsel. Like, you have completely missed the plot point.
It's just such a weak argument, too, because I always feel like people whip it out, and especially men do this, when they want to criticize a character, and, like, that's the easiest go-to, to be like, she's a damsel. I'm like, no, have you been watching this show? She's not a damsel, but whatever.
Yeah. So, I guess it's very weird, because, like, here she saved herself, and I feel like that's annoying, because I feel like for once, like, someone else should be saving her. And I did like that that was the mission for Bard, Nora, and Jay and Joan. But if they had done that, then you would have like fanboys be like, look, she's a damsel. So it's kind of like, you know,
this is like the worst of both worlds in that.
Yes. Yeah.
She is being damseled constantly, in that she's always being put in distress, but yes, she does not have anyone actually treating her like a damsel, so she has to get herself out of that distress. So it's like, everyone's going to call her a damsel in distress, even though she only gets a distress part. And she does not get
that! That's the other, like, big dislike for me. Like, Damien was saying, you're a survivor! And there was frame as, like, a positive, you know, you're strong, or whatever, but also, it just kind of, like,
listen to all the trouble that happened to you.
We don't want her surviving. We want her happy and thriving. Yeah. Let's not do any more trauma just because she can endure it. And it also, like, low-key made me feel like, you know, you, like, saying that she's a cat, basically. She has 9 lives, and she's, like, used up 4 of them already. But, it was like, so you're saying because she's a survivor, does that mean that she'll be put in more? situations that she will have to survive. Like, I don't understand, you know? So, I don't know. I feel like her level up power should be something different. Let's level up Central City Media. Let's do that. Let's have her go through those journeys. Not challenges, please.
I feel like she leveled up before the season started. We just didn't get to see it, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
It's frustrated.
So that, yeah, that was not great. I think I'll stop there because I'll add that I agree that the negative reverse flash suit was just god awful. Like, please. Ugh, never again. And I also feel like, I guess that leads me to another little rant because Eobard died in this finale. And so it's just kind of like, well, what was the point of bringing him back for him to die again in the same episode? And then, like, even now that he is dead, and even now that Frost is dead, Eric is like, yes, they're dead, but comics.
At this point, he's done Reverse Flash 2 seasons in a row as, like, the final big bad to fight. And we're tired. I think you need to pull something else out of the hat.
Please, no more. Okay. I know we had a lot of feedback last week. Thank you guys for commiserating with us. I think we had quite a bit of feedback for this week as well. So let's get into that and see what you guys had to say about this finale.
We did. Starting with Sonia. She says, hey ladies, so glad to see that Candace has signed on for season 9. I saw someone's Tumblr post where they said that Candace liked to tweet about how badly she's treated on the show or something like that. So hopefully they'll treat her better now that she's signed on for what is hopefully the last season. Let us all pray. Barry only being slightly teary over Iris's death, like if it didn't already look like Grant has been phoning it in, now it does. Because take a look at Mina's utter despair over losing Matt Eobard and that being way better than Barry's reaction over losing Iris. They're both hurting badly. Like, no fucking shit, Cecile. They both lost the loves of their lives. Like, you don't need empath powers to know how they're feeling. Why is she so useless? Yes, the return of Damien Dark. Thank God the Stone storyline will actually come to fruition, finally. The negative forces brought Thawne to the timeline where he and Iris are together to make him feel more at home. LOL.
That's funny.
When Damien said that the stone sensed that Iris still had something important to do, my first thought was Iris giving birth to Nora and Bart, since we all know Eric doesn't give a shit about Iris's agency or her career or anything else. But I love how later he talked about what a fighter she is, like she's one of the strongest characters on the show. I hated seeing Joe cry, but where was this, oh my god, come back home soon crying business when she was gone with her time sickness? Jay and Joan figured out Iris is in the time stone. They are literally the only people in the damn show that are doing anything to help her. LMAO, that Bashir chose to seal his tether to because of her boundless potential. Why is Eric so obsessed with her? The fact that Barry took away Thawne's speed instead of killing him is what put all this shit into motion. Sucks because he and Iris wanted to kill him in the first place, and the rest of Team Flash was like, but no, like, this could have all been prevented. What shit? I love when Bart said, who's his new tailor, Satan? And now this is the second time in 2 episodes that Barry has been tricked into shooting lightning at a loved one. That's true, he shot lightning at Bart. But if Bart was helping to shoot lightning at Thawne, then how did he suddenly become Thawne? That scene was so confusing, I had to rewind it.
I think Thawne switched, like to use the still force, negative still force power or something.
Mm-hmm. Love how Iris was able to talk Barry down from literally restarting Armageddon, but LMAO at the fact that Barry just sits down in the middle of the street and defeats Thawne by meditating. it was all Aster, no dis. I have no idea what that means.
I love that. That sparked joy because that is a Young Justice reference. And because, like, his dick was always like, you know, I'm whelmed, but overwhelmed or underwhelmed.
Right.
And, like, that was, like, Bart's, like, disaster. All Aster, no dis. There you go. You're welcome.
I love that interaction between Bart and Barry. I love that it's the continuing gag that Barry literally doesn't understand the slang that his son says. I don't know what that means. Too bad Mina lost her speed, but I love how Iris gave her earbuds tie, and she said she would always be available to help Team Flash with technical stuff. Yay, hope she can come back. Cecile lost her level up powers, only to get them back. Somehow, like, just stop. Why? Oh, yay, we get Tinya and her mom reunited, and maybe we'll have them living in Central City instead of Coast City, and Tinya can use her powers to help them fight crime. I love how the way they didn't hack Caitlin. I love how the way they didn't have Caitlin and Mark helping in the final battle was that Caitlin was in the chamber the entire time and Mark fell asleep. Does anyone have any theories on what happened to Caitlin / Frost? Maybe it's like in Heroes where in season 1, Allie Larder's character was Nikki and Jessica, but as the seasons went on, she played more and more characters each time. Interesting. I have never seen Heroes, so I would not know. Yeah, we got Barry and Iris cuddling and kissing. Ugh. Fucking finally. I know, right? We better get a ton of this in season 9.
Yes!
Wonder who the negative Speed Force ended up choosing in 2049, but hopefully not anyone in the West Island family, but knowing Eric, it probably will be just to give Iris more pain.
That would be interesting, though.
It would be.
Like a distant relative, it's fine.
Anyways, mildly excited for next season now that Candace has signed on. I guess I'll see you guys next season, but I may send some stuff for the Love Boat episode. When does our feedback need to be in by? We probably won't do that for another couple of weeks or so.
Yeah. Let's
probably. We need a break. Process.
Yeah. Process. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Thank you, Sonia.
Because I'm not ready to.
I know.
Throw it down. Throw a ash under the bus.
Anita says, hi, ladies. Well, Season 8 of The Flash came limping to a close, and what an underwhelming treat it was. During the lame festivities, another one of Eric Wallace's insulting interviews came out, and he basically said people might not like what they're doing with Iris, but he has a contract with the CW. He's paid his dues writing for West Allen when he clearly didn't want to, and I'm left shaking my head at the stubborn racism at the network. Wednesday night's episode is the last that I watch live. Iris and Candace have no clear and unwavering support, and it isn't entertaining for me to watch her brutalized, screamed at, and neglected over and over just because she can take it. Yeah. The writer's room, and Eric in particular, go after Iris with all the latent resentment of the geek overlooked by the popular pretty overachiever, or professionals who were told to accept the black Iris because that's where we are now in our culture. There was very little in this episode that followed a straight enough line of logic, even for a fantasy show, but I found things that sparked okay. I could sort of go along with the mechanics of the negative forces, the idea of balance, and the need for an outlet of negative energy, but it still didn't translate into why Iris' body was flooded with negative tachyons. Suspension of disbelief only goes so far. Iris could have been investigating weird happenings all over Central City in connection with this imbalance, and she could have led the CCC media team in this instead of Taylor and Allegra stealing her shine. Thank goodness for Jay and Joan. They really reached out to Joe to help save the day, but I knew Iris would have to get herself out. I didn't mind the B team working with Bashir's force, but what is Cecile now? Head of a coven?
Oh, that was so funny, too. That's exactly what it looked like.
I thought we were going to see a preview of Killer Frost, but I guess that will have to wait. West Allen's couch scene at the end was sweet, but it's now out of the norm. It couldn't save the distracted mess that this season and the show have become. The Flash should be Barry, Iris, Wally West, sometimes the kids, tornado touchdowns, Barry being a CSI and leaving the loft to invent Gideon during Iris' pregnancy symptoms. Drop-ins by Mina would be most welcome. It's really clear that Candace faces backlash for being a black Iris West from behind the scenes. It's not because Iris is canonically white. Other black leading ladies in the genre have been canonical black, and they face the same disrespectful treatment. The common thread is the racial/ethnic background of the lead actress, and the fact that white audiences are considered the core of fantasy and sci-fi. Why are we still on this nonsense? While brown and black girls are being uplifted and supported on streaming and cable, it's a shame that free TV comes at such a high price. Mm-hmm. Predictions. The Shard in 2049 is the first piece of Eobard's comeback for a final showdown. He and Barry are killed because balance. The show tries to be a lame reflection of Stranger Things with the weak D&D references. Killer Frost runs amok.
I would never have made that connection.
Killer Frost runs amok, gets coddled. Chilegra don't brace their pride and have more awkward hugs in the closet. Iris is seen pregnant in the last 3 minutes of season 9. I'll stream and listen to your feedback, ladies, but I'm off of the smoking train wreck.
Of another dislike that I have, that while I like the West Allen loft scene at the end, it is a repeating pattern that we only get them in the finale as a, like, look, here's a treat, come back next season kind of thing.
Yeah, that's definitely true. And it's really sad. It's sort of like giving us the vow renewal. It was like, okay, that's it for a year. Which it was, sadly.
Yeah.
Right.
Suarez says, hello, ladies. Well, that certainly was a finale. While I loved Iris making her way back to Barry and him being her lightning rod for once, what was this writing and reasoning for this? Iris did not have to learn anything. She's learned how much Barry means to her years ago, as have he. I don't get it, and I'm so tired of Iris having to endure unrelenting trauma to up some sort of stakes. I'm really hoping that we'll finally have domestic bliss next season, but we'll see. Looks like I'm sticking out the show for Candace staying on. Going to support her and Iris any way I can. Sigh. Also, LMAO, Thawn is quote-unquote dead. Sure, Jan. He won't be until at least the last season, which hopefully is season 9. Let it go already. Free us all. Also, LMAO, of course Cecile is becoming the most powerful meta ever. Why not? With the picture of, someday I will be the most powerful meta ever. I'm actually intrigued about what's happening with Caitlyn, though. I'm betting she'll finally become the villain who should have become when she first got Frost powers. Anyway, thank y'all for having the best recaps for when I decided not to watch the show. Let us all pray for a short and final season 9 that's high key focused on West Island and starting their family, and let us all finally be done. I think it's probably going to be 15 episodes because that's what Grant signed on for, so.
Yeah.
And then a new feedbacker. Farhio Muhammad says, hey ladies, long time listener, first time writing in. Yay, welcome. You can obviously tell they did not have a plan. Also, enough with Thawn already. God, prediction. Jenna West as the Red Death. Interesting. Thank you, Farhio. I hope I am pronouncing your name correctly. And then we have Melody.
To have Jenna as the Red Death. This is why we have not seen her. She's
that would actually be hilarious. I've been saying this. I think that Jenna should become.
Huh? Speaking of incubator, they said, because that was also like a line in the thing that Iris's body was used as the incubator for this whole shit. And like, ew.
So creepy, yeah.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah. But no, I think that Jenna realizes that the only way that her family is going to pay her any attention is if she is a villain. And that is why she turns to the dark side.
I think so. Mm-hmm.
I would watch that, get her revenge on her parents.
Hey, listen, we're talking about her parents, but it's not like Wally has ever come to visit since she was born. Joni is still just in college, I guess.
And was she there for the birth?
I don't think so. I don't think she was. And then no, Iris, she wasn't. And then Iris is right there and has never spoken to her in her life.
Sad, sad times. Then we have Melody Adele, who says, I am a much older fan of The Flash, or I used to be a fan. I started watching the show and fell in love with Iris, Barry, and West Allen, and that is what kept me coming back for a while. Season 8 turned my favorite characters into ones I didn't recognize, gave importance to ones I didn't like, and overused others. It came to the point where I spent the hour laughing at how I didn't recognize the show anymore. I can sum up my feelings with something I tweeted after the finale. TV is supposed to be an escape for me from this dumpster fire of a country. I always get sad when I get to the point where a show I used to love leaves me feeling absolutely nothing. That's how I know it's time to let it go.
That is sad. I mean,
it is really sad.
Because we said that like last week, that it just does not feel.
It doesn't spark joy in general. Like, I don't look forward to it. I'm okay with leaving on the DVR for like several days and not watching it. So we feel all of your pain. But thank you so much for the feedback. We will post it to the Tumblr.
So we've got some predictions from our feedbackers of what could be in store for season 9. You know, Jenna is finally getting her villain origin story. what's going to be up with Caitlyn? Cobalt Blue, perhaps. What are we, you know, because Eric has said in his interviews that, you know, 6, 7, and 8 were an omnibus. And now his next masterpiece is going to be a 2-season back-to-back story.
We're season 9 barely revived itself from the ashes of the CW. Why are we planning a season 10?
I know. I would really rather they not. I would.
Do you think they're trying to get it to Smallville status to get like a season? Because it is I guess that's one other newsworthy type thing, that The Flash is now the longest running Arrowverse show.
By one episode.
One episode.
That is hilarious.
I mean, next season it will obviously be more, but that did make me laugh. I'm like, one episode.
Kind of like, you know, for whatever reason, that next time I was like, you know what, actually, I don't need another Flash season. And it ended with one episode more. Arrow.
It actually reminds me, you know what, that reminds me of, like, the, like, K-pop Twitters that, like, count the most minute achievements, where they're like, Taehyung from BTS is now the most followed idol with 46,700,056 instead of whatever. I'm like, why? But yes. So next season.
You
know how many episodes is going to be?
15.
Oh, 15. Okay.
Well, we're assuming this based on Grant's contract. I don't know if they're going to do 13. They'd probably do the full 15.
So you guys don't think they would do more than, like, they wouldn't have episodes without Grant?
No.
They haven't so far.
Mm. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Then, like, we can focus on, like, Allegra. He still had something to do.
Okay. I don't know why. That did not cross my mind ever. I was like, oh, we're going to have episodes without Grant, I guess.
It'll be the Cecile.
Oh, God. But yeah. Oh,
jeez. I don't know. I don't really have any major predictions because I was just left feeling so blah for this season. But I feel like if they are going to do Cobalt Blue and it is Eddie,
if
it's 2049, it doesn't make sense for it to be Eddie.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, they're going to have to unkill him some kind of way because that's been in my mind since season one. So, you know, you're going to have to make it work. what was I going to say? We also know from the DCTV comic book crossover that is canon, apparently. So, and I think there's, like, some blood work in there. So, I know there's, like, a lot of rumors of blood work coming back for season 9.
I would be fine with that. I liked blood work in general. I thought that he was a more compelling villain than any of the other ones we got after that.
And he's hot, so.
Yes.
Yeah,
he's, like, the kind of actor that really makes a scene pop. And I think Eric mentioned something about his ideal battle would be, like, Zoom and, oh my god, I don't remember what the other speedster was, but oh no, Zoom and Godspeed.
Mm.
Oh.
I don't know.
I mean, I hope it's like a new, I hope it's like the start of something new.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'll say. Because 2049 seems so random. Now I've got to be like, villains in 2049.
Sometimes that, like, it happened in a year, you know?
Unless it's like young Eobard, who looks like Eddie.
Yeah. Or it could be, well,
I would vibe with that.
Yeah. It could be, it could be Malcolm Vaughn. It could be like a relative of another relative of Eobard. Yes. But, you know, I don't know. Oh, wait. CinemaBlend has an article saying, The Flash Season 9 is bringing a major villain back, and the reveal was perfectly on brand. What is the major villain? Let me scroll down here. I don't think that...
It's hard for my interview.
Blood work. Never mind. Okay, yeah. I forgot that. That's not helpful.
Well, that would be interesting if they introduce Malcolm Vaughn, because you can't do Eddie. And it would have some kind of relevance because he is a Thawne. Because I feel like if you're going to do Cobalt Blue, it has to have some kind of relevance to either Barry and or Iris and their children. So,
right.
Yeah. I agree.
All right. Well, are we going to be back for season 9? Because you're like, oh, hell no. I'm not staying around here doing nothing. But, I mean, someone's got to keep Stargirl company, I guess.
Stargirl company, yes, that's true.
But then it's not at the same time, because Stargirl's on the fall, and Flash won't air until the spring, so.
I don't know.
You know?
I mean, I guess we have time to decide. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Maybe if
the promos... I feel like it's our civic duty to, like, continue watching for the people. Right.
For the people, exactly. Like, isn't our motto, we watch it so you don't have to? So, yeah. I don't know.
That is true. We have to watch it weekly, though.
Right. That's true. We could do, like, clumps like we've been doing for the Irisless episodes. We could do that, too.
Yeah. I guess it feels like, because, you know, Eric always has big dreams and big promises. that seem great on the outside, but if we have to go through the execution that was going on in season 8, I don't know. But we will, when we find out, we'll let you know.
I feel like if the show can get a little bit back from like how they wrote Armageddon in terms of like stakes and intrigue and you know, fun cliffhangers, like that would be exciting because then at least there's a spark in the show, you know. But if it's going to be like the rest of season 8, I don't know, they can keep it.
Anywho, stick around later.
We're going to do Lady with Gumption.
Oh, yeah. Who is Lady with Gumption for this episode and then for the season?
Iris, of course, at least for the episode, for sure. Because
for the episode, yeah.
Yeah, she had to spark her way out of there. She had to get pepped off from Damien Dark. She's a survivor. She's going to make it. And she's still willing to...
Armageddon.
Yeah, she stopped Armageddon. She's still willing to be with Barry even after he killed her, didn't look for her for a month, and decided that she was dead.
The divorce papers were not signed.
Exactly.
Congratulations to Mina for being ready to go on Barry's revenge plot. She went through a lot and lost the love of her life, too. So, honorable mention there. Overall, season 8.
Oh.
There's only 3 women, but then I forgot Caitlin, so. But.
Oh, I guess she's not winning.
She's not winning. She's barely doing anything this season.
So Caitlin's not winning because she barely did anything, and we don't like the other two, so.
Yeah. I don't dislike Allegra. I just don't like when she gets Iris' storyline.
Well, and I wouldn't give it to Allegra for the season because she only had, moments. Right. In general, throughout the season, to shine.
Then you're left with Cecile.
No, I'm definitely not going to just Cecile.
For telling us people's emotions? I don't know.
Right. No thank you at all. For not doing her job and then complaining about work.
Jenna, for having the audacity to just keep off screen and, you know, hanging out. There's nobody. I mean, I guess Mina... for her mini arc, because I feel like she went through a lot and did a lot and sacrificed a lot and was very active and
I would agree with that. That's sad.
I know. It's so sad.
For a 3-minute arc gets a season long Lady with Gumption. Come on, Eric.
Do better.
Do better. So Iris for the episode and Mina for the season. Thank you, everybody, for sticking around with us. Hope you enjoyed. We will come back in maybe a couple of weeks to do a love boat. We'll let everybody know when that is going down. In the meantime, if you want to come over to Patreon, www.patreon.com/UCTVGumption, you can catch up on all of our premium episodes, including The Boys. First half of season 3, we'll be doing the second half coming up shortly. Until then, goodbye.